coming to you live from Tampa Bay, USA. This is the good news on Glenn Klein Online. Beautiful humans, this is Glenn Klein Online. It is hump day, Wednesday, June 6, 2012, the only first Wednesday of June 2012, and the only first webcast, the inaugural of the good news on Glenn Klein Online in the history of humanity. Yes, indeed. Power to the people. Welcome in on the first ever good news on Glenn Klein Online. This is Glenn Klein Online. Glad to have you along for the ride, and quite a ride it has been, ladies and gentlemen. We are glad to have you with us. This is an historic day. Not only is it the first good news on Glenn Klein Online ever, but it is also the anniversary of D-Day. Yes, that's right. June 6th. 1944, the day that the Americans and the other Allied troops stormed the beaches at Normandy. You've seen the movie, Saving Private Ryan, and others. One of the most powerful perspectives that Michael has shared with me is that when things are going bad, he saw a documentary on the prisoners of war in Japan, and many of these guys had a flesh-eating disease, and he would often say, well, at least I don't have a flesh-eating disease. And although we've been through some challenges in our lives and in the last week, at least we don't have a flesh-eating disease. We're going to be talking about a lot about Michael L. Williams and the Gospel Revolution as we are evolving and transforming and being as open and honest with you as we can humanly be. But now, please welcome online. You know him, you love him. It would be, well, frankly, impossible to do the show without him. The producer, engineer, and call screener extraordinaire, and my wingman. Please welcome online, Mr. Sean O'Halloran. Sean,
hello.
How are you, buddy?
Pretty good. Nice and full. Had a good dinner.
What was for dinner tonight?
Footlong sub from Subway.
A footlong. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, it's
is a $5 foot long?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, one of the things that Mike and I have enjoyed over the many years that Sean has been with us, about 3.5 years?
Yeah, 3.5.
Doing the Wednesday Gospel Revolution webcast, is the sense of humor we've experienced, frankly, off the air or before the webcast would go on. And I would hear these comments coming from Peanut Gallery.
Comedy Gold.
Comedy Gold that nobody else heard. But one of the already positive things about this Wednesday night webcast evolving is that folks are going to get to know you a little bit better, even if they don't call the show.
Yeah, it's a gift.
You are a gift, my friend, and we're going to be giving you the numbers later on so you can talk to Sean in person and get on this here webcast. And also in studio for week number two, please welcome online the founder of Facebook Love. Please say hello to Ms. Dina Lynn. Dina!
Hello.
How are you tonight?
I'm excellent.
Did you have a nice dinner?
I did. I did have a nice dinner.
Did you have a footlong?
I did not. I passed on the footlong tonight.
And what did you have, honey?
I had shrimp. I went the opposite direction.
You had shrimp.
I did.
Interesting. Well, we're going to be talking to Dina. You guys, whether you were listening for the first time or you've been with the Wednesday Night Webcast from the get-go, and we did hear from people this week who have been with the webcast since day one, which is amazing. This is a historic night, and you need to know that it's historic for me. We started the program with Power to the People. That's what this program is about, empowering people. And I'm a people, too. And frankly, I need the gospel. And when this thing happened this weekend, and I'll be getting into the details of it later on in the program, but one of the things that I had to grapple with was that my best friend and my closest confidant, who has been the most influential person that I've ever known in my life, and I mean that period, that I would have to look back on everything that I learned from Michael with sadness. And on Monday, I woke up and I said to myself, screw that. This guy has been literally a godsend to me. And so that's when I decided to dedicate this first webcast to Michael L. Williams and the gospel revolution that he spawned. Now, you guys need to know that I have edited every word of Michael's new book, One, The Gospel According to Mike, and it is a phenomenal book. And one of the things that you will be hearing during the course of the history of this webcast, for however long it goes on, is that I will be continuing to encourage you to support Mike Williams Ministries and the Gospel Revolution. We're supposed to be, and the Gospel Revolution is, in the third and final week of the One Pledge Drive. And I got some very good news today on the email list that Jeff and Michael report that they're two-thirds of the way into their $29,300 goal. Please.
Wonderful.
Yes, please contribute to that. And stay with it. I mean, we're going to be, and we're asking you to do that too. So all the information's at gospelrevolution.com, how you can participate in the One Pledge Drive, and also what you get if you give at a certain level. Just go to gospelrevolution.com. Well, as I said, I have edited every word of that wonderful book, One, The Gospel According to Mike, and I wrote the foreword. Now, frankly, I don't know if the foreword is going to be in the book or not, but I wanted to share, as we do honor Michael and the Gospel Revolution tonight, a few words from the foreword of the book One. This is how it starts for me. The Gospel According to Mike saved my life. It saved my life in every way a person's life can be saved. And if you dare to read this book, you'll come to understand. You'll come to understand what God's gospel of peace and grace means, what its specific purpose is for the human soul, and why it is so impactful. At first blush, devout Christians may see it to be the height of arrogance, bordering on sacrilege, to declare a gospel according to anyone else other than Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. How much death, destruction, and devastation have been wrought in the name of God because of mistranslated, misunderstood, and misrepresented passages from the Bible. Only God knows. What you will learn in One is how critical it is to know what the definition of crucial words of the Bible actually are and how critical it is to read them in context. It was for me and has been for untold billions of people throughout human history. The gospel literally means something. It means good news. So the gospel, according to Mike, should be understood as the good news as experienced and articulated by Mike Williams. There is nothing more to it, and there is nothing less. On that fateful day of the Messiah's death in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, when everything changed, an enormous earthquake is said to have taken place. As you read Mike's life story and the understanding of the gospel it has produced, get ready to have your world rock too. It just may save your life. Glenn Klein. Well, as I said, I don't know if that's going to be in the book or not, but I highly recommend you guys pre-order the book. And as you might know, you guys that have been following this, this has been a very tough several days for me and a lot of people, including Mike, I'm sure. I haven't talked to Mike. And, well, frankly, I do miss his voice, and I miss him. And there's something I can do about that right now.
Folks, the world was not, quote, going to hell because of what the world did. The world was going to hell because of what somebody else did. The preaching of the gospel makes no one righteous. It reveals the righteousness that you already have. The reason the blood of Christ only covers transgressions under the First Testament is because that's the only place where transgression existed. Everyone has been made righteous. You've got righteousness you didn't ask for, righteousness you didn't even believe for. You might say, well, I'm an atheist. Well, welcome. You're an atheist that's on your way to heaven. This is clear, sound doctrine in every Bible school that is on the face of this planet that teaches any form of Christianity.
The statements you just heard are from the Northern Midwest Conference in the teaching series, Spiritual Understanding, The Knowledge of God. James Pep Washburn writes, "Tonight was probably the most powerful presentation of the real gospel that I have ever heard. This is no exaggeration. The guy was absolutely firing on all cylinders tonight. He was in afterburner mode. No loose ends. Amazing." This 3-CD series is available for $24 plus shipping and handling, or in a downloadable audiobook for $12. Order your copy of the CDs or download at gospelrevolution.com today.
Don't go changing to try and please me. You never let me down before. Mm-hmm. Don't imagine you're too familiar, and I don't see you anymore. I would not leave you in times of trouble. We never could have come this far. Mm-hmm. I took the good times, I'll take the bad times, I'll take you just the way.
Welcome back in on this inaugural edition of the Good News on Glenn Klein Online. This is Glenn Klein Online, privileged and proud to welcome online our dear friend, the author of a couple of great books, but this particular one that I have in my hand is Dropping Hell and Embracing Grace. Please welcome online from the great state of Iowa, Ivan A. Rogers. Ivan!
Hello, Glenn, my good friend.
Ivan, so happy to hear your voice. How are you this Wednesday evening?
I am great, and it's a great honor to be on your inaugural program of Good News.
That's exactly right, and one of the beautiful things that you said on one of the posts was something that Michael has said so many times, is that there is no bad news in the good news.
That is true, and did you know that the word good derives from the word God?
So what are you trying to say, Ivan I.E. Rogers?
I'm trying to say that, you know, Jesus told a man one time, there is only one good, and that is God. And so it is true that the word good actually does derive from the word God. A lot of people don't realize that.
You guys that have logged on to Wednesday Night Shows, you've heard Ivan before. Ivan, what was the title of your book about Judas? I forget.
Judas Iscariot, Revisited and Restored.
And what did you mean by that saying? or by, well, by that title?
Well, it's that last word in the title that raises eyebrows. you know that historically, Judas Iscariot is not very well thought of in the church.
You think?
Among Christian people.
You think?
Oh, I'm quite certain.
You know. You
in
definitely
fact,
know.
I visited Christian bookstores when I was researching for the book, and I was looking for any writings on Judas Iscariot, the disciple of the Lord who betrayed the Lord. And I made an amazing discovery. In most Christian bookstores that I visited, and I visited several, they had books and writings of the other 11 disciples, but they didn't have anything on Judas. In fact, one store manager, when I inquired on Judas, he said, "Judas, we don't like that guy around here." And I said, "I know, but do you have a book?" And he did a search on the computer, and guess what? They didn't have a single book in the bookstore on this disciple. And so he's persona non grata among Christians.
Right.
And I felt impressed to write a book about Judas. I've always wondered, how could the Lord choose Judas to be his disciple, knowing full well that he was a thief? That's what the Bible says, that Judas was a thief. And it says that Jesus knew from the beginning who would betray him. So I thought to myself, if Jesus knew from the beginning Judas was a thief and that he would betray the Lord, why then did Jesus choose him? And this led to other thoughts in my mind and consequently led me to pursue the book, the writing of the book.
Now, in that book, and I remember enjoying it, you really didn't completely come out as somebody that believed that the death, burial, and resurrection of Yeshua actually paid the price for everybody, that there is no hell, and everybody in the eyes of God is perfect and righteous and holy, and no matter if they're a thief like Judas was. But then you wrote, after 58 years in evangelical ministry, then you wrote Dropping Hell and Embracing Grace. Why did you do that, and what caused you to do that?
Well, I had been on a long journey towards grace, and I used the Judas book as a fulcrum to pry open the doors of grace. And the Judas book was well accepted, and so I just felt eventually that I could no longer contain the joy of knowing how gracious Jesus really is. And so I set about to write the second book, and titled Dropping Hell and Embracing Grace. And in that book, I'm answering questions they didn't want us to ask concerning heaven, hell, and hope for the ultimate salvation of all humanity.
Now, you're a guy who has embraced the Bible as the Word of God and understands the typology and the foreshadowing and the Scriptures, what we call the Old Testament. What did you discover when read in context in the research for your book about what it actually says about the power of that sacrifice at Golgotha?
Well, I discovered a number of new insights as I wrote the book, but I had already come to these truths before I wrote it, of course.
Right.
And just to give you one scripture that jumped out at me as I went along. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:19, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. I want to pause there. Notice the word, he was doing this in himself.
Right.
In Christ, okay? In other words, no help needed. So God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. And so I think it's not enough that we should discover this wonderful truth for ourselves, but God has commissioned those of us who have come to this truth. He's commissioned us, as it says, he's committed to us this message of reconciliation. I had to write the book. I had to share this message with as many people as I could possibly reach. And, of course, I encourage others to do the same. Now, I had kept this to myself for many years. I had been a high-ranking official of a church denomination. I served that denomination for many, many years.
Right.
At virtually every level. And I just couldn't bring myself to come all out, so to speak.
Yeah. And, I think a lot of people could relate to that statement, Ivan. I think a lot of people could relate to that statement in more ways than one.
Yes, I'm sure. But in writing this book, you know, there was no going back.
How young are you now?
Oh, I'm only 82.
82 years young. And uh-huh. you and Elsie, your beautiful wife, are in what? You're coming out of your third retirement?
Yes, I've retired three times.
Yeah.
and every time I retire, Glenn, they come and get me.
Did you ever see that? I don't remember which mob movie it was, but it might have been Scarface. But they was like, I was out, and they dragged me back in. It's kind of like you, Ivan.
Well, right now, we volunteered to stand in the pulpit of a historic country church who had lost their pastor.
Right.
He'd been there 18 years. He suddenly passed away. He was a good friend of ours. We went to the funeral. Some of the board members of the church recognized me, and we got to talking, and they were quite concerned. They probably would not be able to find a pastor for their little church. I kind of, my heart went out to them, and so I volunteered myself and my lovely wife, who is talented musically.
She sure is.
I volunteered myself to come out, take care of the pulpit. She would do the music until they found a pastor. Well, guess what?
What happened?
After about a month, they quit looking, and so we've been there now for a year and a half, well, going on 2 years.
We're talking with Ivan A. Rogers, the author of Dropping Hell and Embracing Grace, and Good Report Ministries. What's your website, Ivan, so people can go in and order the book?
My website is goodreportministries.com. And all you need to know about the books and other wonderful things are on that website, goodreportministries.com.
And here is the blurb that is from your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host. It says, in this book, we are delighted to discover that dropping hell and embracing grace is a message of hope for all human beings. Ivan I. Rogers brilliantly and convincingly makes the case that Jesus Christ was fully successful in his assigned messianic mission to redeem all humanity from sin. Glenn Klein, host of GospelRevolution.com. Well, that's not current, but we'll update it in the new printing, okay, Ivan?
Well, Well, yes. Second printing, we'll straighten that out, and maybe we'll add a little to it.
No doubt. And get that second printing going by going to goodreportministries.com. Ivan, love you. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
God bless you, Glenn.
Thank you. That's Ivan A. Rogers, the author of Dropping Hell and Embracing Grace. On the other side, we welcome back Dina Lynn, the founder of Facebook Love. We want to take your calls, too. Give Sean a call at 1-800-436-3260, 800-436-3260. This is the good news on Glenn Klein Online.
What do you want to do? What's your heart say? How many people have wound up married because it was supposed to be the will of God? These are the things that you're all upset about. What would you like to accomplish, regardless of what age you are? Do you know how many people's lives have been paralyzed by sitting back waiting to figure out what the will of God was for their lives? I hate that doctrine. I absolutely detest it. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul.
That was just a sample of what Mike Williams said when he spoke at the 3rd Annual Gospel Revolution Convention in Calgary. Mike taught the book of Romans verse by verse from beginning to end, and you will never hear Paul's letter to the Romans taught like this. Connie Nelson told me after attending the convention that it changed her life and she will never see the Bible the same way again. Vic Dobrynin called it groundbreaking stuff, and David Dwyer of Brisbane, Australia said it felt like he had just been through a 10-hour detox program. This 11-hour series entitled The Book of Romans Revealed is available on audio CDs for $88 plus shipping and handling, or you can download it right now for just $44 at gospelrevolution.com. You have to hear it if you're going to believe it.
Welcome back into the inaugural webcast of The Good News on Glenn Klein Online. This is Glenn Klein Online. Sean O'Halloran to my right. Taking your calls now at 1-800-436-3260. 800-436-3260 is the Glenn Klein Online toll-free hotline. And you can call us around the world directly at 813-425-5773. If you're listening, and it's about 925 on the east coast of the United States of America, you're listening live, and we'd love to hear from your comments, your questions. You guys from the Gospel Revolution, from Facebook Love, from Good News on Glenn Klein Online, whoever, whether you've called many times or this is your first time, whatever you want to talk about, we're taking your calls at 1-800-436-3260 or 813-425-5773. Only done that about 5,000 times. So this is the first webcast of The Good News on Glenn Klein Online, and we're honoring and dedicating to Michael Williams and the Gospel Revolution. I want to thank Robert Moore for that brilliant commercial. I think, Sean, that might be, I think by acclamation between you, me, and Michael, our favorite commercial.
Well, that's because it's got the things that we're all upset about.
These are the things that we're all upset about. Well, there were some upsetting things that happened this week to a lot of people. And we're going to talk about it right now. And here's what happened. We started this webcast. A rabbi goes into a sun bar. And we start this webcast in the fall of 2006. And we started it on a, what do they call that?
A Wednesday.
Not on the cheap. We started it on, what am I thinking about, Dina? On the fly, I don't know what we started out. It was a good idea. We wanted to reinvigorate Gospel Revolution, and we did. And we started out with a few callers and a few listeners. Actually, we had no callers because we only had one phone line. And we have people that are probably listening right now that heard the very first webcast. I heard from some of those people this week that were upset with the developments. And then we changed producers. We went from Patrick L. Jones to the very lovely and talented Sean O'Halloran. And Michael and I really thought that we would have to be down for a while. But we never missed a week, did we, Sean?
No.
You were right there, steady Eddie, steady as it goes, hand on the dial.
Kind of, but it was a trial by fire because Patrick was a little more advanced in some of this stuff than I was. But I picked it up eventually, but I'm not sure if I could have put it together from scratch like he did.
No, that's right. It just kind of all was positioned properly. I knew Patrick had the knowledge. We wanted to get on the radio to talk about the gospel, and we did. And we never missed a week when we went from Patrick to Sean. And A, you're better looking than Patrick, and B, a much better sense of humor, I must say. So we never missed a week, and now with this new transition, we're not missing a week again. And Sean, thank you. Thank you for caring about me and the people and for just doing what you do.
That's what I do.
That's right. Speaking of doing what you do, one of the greatest lessons that we all have learned from Michael is follow your heart, that you can never go wrong following your heart. And that's why we're doing what we're doing tonight. And we're doing it because there are people listening all over the world need to hear good news. And the show, ladies and gentlemen, is going to be about the gospel, the good news that we've learned from Michael that Ivan was just sharing. Cannot recommend that book enough, by the way, Dropping Hell and Embracing Grace. The message, the good news is getting out. The thing that I tell people about the Gospel Revolution webcast is that it's basically a recovery program for Christians. And that if you want, and they're like, they look at me like, what, are you out of your mind? Why would Christians need a recovery program? We want to welcome back online the founder of Facebook Love, Dina Lynn. Dina!
Hello again.
Dina, why would Christians need a recovery program?
Well, beyond the fact that it's a man-made system that enslaves and blinds people and brainwashes them from who they really are, I can't think of a reason.
And spiritually and emotionally abuses people, perhaps?
Yes, case in point, right here.
Right, and here too, and with Michael. And frankly, anybody, as Michael says in his book, one, that takes Christianity seriously, if they don't back off of it at some point, they're going to go nuts, insane.
Yes, absolutely.
So that's what we've been doing, and that's what I want to continue to do, is to bring good news, and not just about the gospel. There's a lot of good things happening in the world that produce life, that produce a quality of living. There was just a study that we put on the Facebook page at Good News on Glenn Klein Online. If you're on Facebook, you can go there. There was a story, Dina, that talked about when you have a good positive attitude, it causes longevity of life. It's good to have a good positive attitude.
I think most of us want to live as long, but not just as long, but as fully as possible, yeah.
No doubt. So here's what happens, you guys. Over the course of the almost 7 years of the webcast, your friendly neighborhood talk show host, yours truly, has expressed himself as I do. Now, you guys need to know that I've been in radio, on the air radio, since I was 14. So I know the parameters, or to coin a phrase, the perimeters of what is acceptable on the air radio. And other than one major slip-up one time when I didn't know we were online and I dropped the F-bomb before the show, that's when Patrick was here.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yep. And people got very upset and we apologized and they still pulled their support. A couple people did. I've been, you know, definitely well within the perimeter of what would be acceptable on the air radio. Forget about the internet. You can say anything on the internet. But every so often, as I've done on this show, and as I'm thinking about this, do you have the clips that you downloaded? Rats. Can we get those? That was, okay. That was my bad. Okay. Well, that's okay. We have the very specific clips that happened last week because from time to time, as I've done on this show, I will have some blue humor, very, you know, innuendo, very light, something that would be totally acceptable on regular radio, but frankly, pretty much from day one, was never acceptable with Mike. In fact, if, and a lot of you guys did, I'm sure, got the newsletter that came out today from Mike Williams Ministries, He said, many of you have expressed sadness along with me that there will be no Gospel Revolution MWM webcast tonight. He says, hang in there. Help is on the way. I don't think he was talking about this particular show, but nonetheless, I will keep you posted when our new format will be ready. I am excited. Since a few questions have come in, let me cover some of the basis about Glenn Klein or about GospelRevolution.com and MWM separation from Glenn Klein Online. As you all know, someone's conduct in their personal life, in word, action, or deed, is not a gospel issue. We've talked about that a lot. But Michael says, however, in the 7 years of the webcast, I have never recommended the show to my own family, just as I know many who have loved the show and also had great hesitations about recommending it also. He needs me to edit this, but that's an aside. Comments and content that are unnecessary and sometimes totally unacceptable to many people have never ceased. My desire is to reach as many people as possible with a webcast everyone can be proud of is paramount. If not everyone, at least most. So Michael says, call him personally with any concerns. So so far all the comments have been positive in understanding why the decision had to be made and why for any who do not understand, at the end of the day, it falls to me and me alone, this is Michael talking, to do what is best for the Gospel Revolution and Mike Williams Ministries. This is no way a rejection of any one individual in any way. Even as we go our separate ways, we are one. He mentions my name in quotes as Glenn Klein Online, but he never even mentioned me. I mean, he says that the first newsletter came out said that he's going to have a webcast that respects all people's feelings and treats people the way that they deserve to be treated. And I've always tried to do that as I followed my heart.
Yeah, it's interesting sometimes. What we do and what we say don't necessarily line up. And when we're hurt, I've noticed that hurt people, and sometimes we lash out in that pain. It doesn't mean anyone's a bad guy. It just means that we're human.
You know, I've always said that the Gospel Revolution is scandal-proof. And it is, you guys. The message that Mike has taught us is scandal-proof because you don't have to be perfect in your behavior to give a perfect message. Our standing in God is perfect, not our behavior. Dee, have you experienced any imperfect behavior from me the last 10 days?
From you?
Yes. It's pretty much a yes or no question.
You have been fully human, yes.
Thank you so much. And so, so here's what happens, you guys. This is an ongoing discussion. Michael is a little extreme, I believe, in his expression. And you guys that have heard the show, I don't think that even the lighthearted sexual innuendo, and we're going to actually, Sean's got the clip, so we'll give you a perfect example of what was so objectionable, not only to Michael, but to other people. And but this has been an ongoing discussion. And then here's what happens. I backed off, and I heard him, and I really tried, because I've been doing radio a long time, and this is part of who I am. I'm a kind of a little naughty boy, aren't I, Dina?
Naughty big boy, yeah.
Thank you, honey, for saying big. Appreciate that. Yeah, I am. But I backed off of it. Michael said that I gave it lip service, but I really tried. But then, about 7 weeks ago, like on Monday, I meet this woman by accident, Dina Lynn, from Dallas, Oregon, on Facebook, and we start all this stuff and Facebook loves happens, and Dina starts calling the show as our Northwest correspondent. I start relating to her affectionately on the air, probably not the best idea. And then last week, upon Dina's arrival here in Tampa to meet me for the first time, for us to meet each other, she's in studio, and the innuendo came. And I did not cut you off. Mm-hmm. I played into it.
You kind of encouraged me.
Well, I certainly did, and I'm really sorry, not really. This is the type of thing that Michael objected to. The reason that he says that he didn't recommend it to his family, and by the way, what I got so many wonderful emails, and I'm going to get to a couple of them here. But one of the first emails said, "I know it's none of my business." And I said to this good friend of the Gospel Revolution and a good giver, I said, you do deserve. It is your business. We're asking you to give money, to give your heart, to give your time. Of course you deserve to know what happened. Now, I was telling a good friend of the Gospel Revolution this story on the phone, good friend of mine, and Mike called at the same time I was on with him. He called me back and said, basically, you guys are telling the same story, which I was really happy to hear. It kind of reminds me of our brother Ron in California, who called back years after the suicide story and said, yeah, I've been pretty accurately portraying it. Accurate communication is very important to me. And so the reason that this all happened was because I couldn't stop my, what did you call me, Dina? Naughty big boy?
Naughty big boy.
Naughty big boy from leaking out from time to time. I don't think it was as constant as Michael does. The webcast grew in the course of almost 7 years from just a smattering of people, probably in Canada and the U.S. We're touching over 185 countries now. I'm pretty proud of what we did together. And I will continue, as I said, to support Michael and Mike Williams Ministries and the Gospel Revolution. But this happened 1 week ago tonight on the webcast. Michael had to call back because his phone was breaking up. And here's what transpired.
Ignorant reasons and for nefarious reasons of self-gain and putting people under bondage and control. Try to teach and preach to people and make them believe there is an angry God. Believe me, it's out there. It's been done for 2,000 years now. But because they are out there, it is important that a voice rise in opposition to this, to condemn this. I'm very for the Gospel Revolution and everyone in the Gospel Revolution, because I know they know the voice of judgment, and they also know the voice of the gospel, and they know when to speak up and condemn teachings and statements of judgment and an angry God on this planet.
We're going to continue with this conversation, ladies and gentlemen. Michael, I hate to do this, but I'm going to ask you to call back on your office line.
Okay.
Yeah, we're breaking up on your headset. I'm sorry.
All right.
There goes Michael. So, fortunately, I have my partner here, Dina.
Yo.
Yeah. So, all right. You just heard that little sermon, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts?
Sometimes my thoughts are a little more esoteric and perhaps controversial. But you want to hear them, or?
I don't know that they could be any more esoteric or controversial than we normally get here on the
okay.
Gospel Revolution Radio.
I'm just going to write down, or I'm just going to say what I wrote down just now as I was listening to Michael.
Please.
And it may not be true. I am pretty much at the point where I trust that truth is, and truth is expansive and meets me where I am and takes me where I need to go, and that there's really no end to the much more that constitutes truth. And anyway, so my thoughts as I was listening, and this is what ifing, okay? It's my second favorite indoor sport is to what if. So my...
Whoa.
Yeah?
What is your first favorite sport? Remember, this is a PG-rated radio show.
This is the Gospel Revolution.
My first indoor sport would be to celebrate life in its fullest.
All right. So that's it right there. Michael came back online, and see, you're right. I encourage it, but then I tried to pull it back by saying it was a PG. And Mike,
was PG. That was my PG.
I know, but this is what Mike's all upset about, and
well,
he
there
is
was the end.
He is upset. We're going to talk about how Facebook love played into, frankly, the history of the Gospel Revolution. Why we're here right now. This is Glenn Klein Online. This is the good news. On Glenn Klein Online, Dina Lynn, the founder of Facebook Love, in studio, Sean O'Halloran, spinning the dials, taking your calls at 1-800-436-3260. This is your opportunity, guys. Got about 20 minutes left. Get in early and often, 1-800-436-3260 or 813-425-5773. All over the world, you can get through on us. So we did pretty well for the rest of the show, but then I had to go one step further. Right at the end of the program. One. Love you all. We can't say it any better than the president of the School of the Scriptures in Nakuru Town, Kenya, can we, Michael?
No, that's for sure.
No doubt.
We love you guys and love to you guys in Kenya. We, you know, we're just sending out just extra love to you because we love you. We admire you. We admire your stand for the gospel in the land of Kenya and there in your area. And we know that that is a major thing in a religious area.
No doubt. I didn't have a chance to get to our communication from Moses early in the week about the terrorist attacks that happened and the pressure that they're under. And we try to keep it light, but there's a reality here, folks. We are, we're up against 2,000 years, thousands of years of religious bigotry and hatred and inequality, and that's what we're doing. So, Mikey, we love you. So, thank you so much.
Love you, Glenn. Thank you so much for all that you've done tonight and all that you do every day.
It was a tremendous show. We want to thank Sean O'Halloran for allowing us to go 20 minutes over. And for Girma and Dina for calling, for Paul for calling, for Jeff Robertson for everything he's doing. One more greeting to the folks in Kenya and everybody who gave so far. On the One Pledge Drive, go to GospelRevolution.com, you guys, this week. We'll have a full report 1 week from tonight when we return on the Gospel Revolution Radio Network. Until that time, this would be Glenn Klein Online saying thank you so much to the very lovely and talented Dina Lynn, to my immediate right. Thanks, honey.
You're welcome.
Did you have fun?
I did. And if you want to have a more in-depth discussion about that, my favorite indoor sport, we could arrange that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I like that support group.
Uh-huh.
Until next time, this would be Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody. All right. Well, we're not done yet, but that was the last time on the Gospel Revolution webcast. I thought we'd be back this week, and the report is that the pledge drive is doing quite well. They're two-thirds in, and we encourage you guys to participate at GospelRevolution.com. Dee, you heard Michael say thank you for everything you did tonight,
mm-hmm.
and thank you for everything you do every day.
Mm-hmm.
And then some more information came his way that we had started a webpage called Facebook Love. And just to give you guys a background who don't know it, is that Dina mistakenly Facebooked me, messaged me. She was messaging another Glenn a little over 7 weeks ago. I was sitting on my couch innocently on Facebook getting ready to go to bed, and bloop, and here we are. So that's you can go to Facebook Love if you want to read the whole story, a lot of stories. And we started this thing on a lark that we probably weren't the only ones that met on Facebook. We know stories in the media about people's relationships breaking up, but I suggested to you, Dee, that it might be fun to have both sides of the story.
Yeah, kinda the whole spectrum.
Kind of like good news, if you will.
Exactly.
And so, lo and behold, a couple weeks later, Dina Lynn founds Facebook Love. And as Facebook does, when you start a group, you are offered to add people to the group, and people can... This is how they do it. Why don't you explain how Facebook Love or how Facebook does groups?
Sure, and I found out the hard way. They changed their policy. It used to be you could be invited and you could accept or decline. And without any notice that I ever got, suddenly I found myself added without any notice to several groups. So, I mean, at first, yes, it was a little annoying, a little chagrining. So I check out the groups. I decide, yes, I want to stay, or no, I don't want to stay. Initially, yes, I was annoyed, I admit. And then eventually I realized, well, this is how Facebook now operates. And there wasn't a reason for me to take offense because somebody obviously cared enough
right.
to want to include me in something that mattered to them. So I get the option of opting out. It's not the way I would do things if I was running the world or Facebook, but it's how it's done.
Well, pretty much Facebook is running the world at this point.
We know
so
this now.
If you're running Facebook, you're running the world. All right, so here's what happens. Mike finds out about this. Now, I talk to Michael every day, or I did. I talked to him on Thursday, on Friday. On Saturday morning, I talked to him, and I finished editing for about the fourth time chapter 12 of the book one, The Gospel According to Mike, sent it to him, let him know it was on his computer. And then about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Dina and I went to the Tampa Bay Rays baseball game, didn't we?
Yes, we did. I was there.
And when we got back at about 8:30, there were a series of emails from Michael, starting very lightly, and then getting progressively angrier and angrier as the afternoon went on without me being able to respond because I didn't know that they were there. And apparently, Mike was talking to people and found out that we had added all these people to Facebook Love and didn't know exactly how Facebook Love worked. So I respond to the last email he sent saying, you know, he's talked about everything. And I said, I'm open to correction and let's move this thing forward. And then the next email I got was, you're done. And that's how it went down. And then on Sunday, I tried to email Michael back and forth, and we did exchange some emails saying, bro, come on, there's got to be some way to retrieve this. And if I know Michael, once he made up his mind, he's done. And that's when I called Sean and said, you know, bro, do you want to continue this in a different way? And he was down for it, and here we are. So I've had some amazing responses. Michael said in his letter, we've had some incredible – mine have not all been positive, though, Dina. But this one came in from Mary – Keller, who always brought out her favorite lines each week in the webcast. I hope you still do, Mary. She said, I actually cried when I heard of the changes taking place. Over the past 7 years, I feel like I have journeyed with you and Mike. The combination of you two has been amazing, and the entertainment factor has really kept me listening when I'm not willing to listen to straight teaching. I love you both and plan to listen to you both. And that's Mary Keller. And I told Mary that I cried too. This one came in from James Forehand from Texas. He said, thank you, Glenn, for being all you are to the gospel revolution. You are a great strength for us all. As I see it, you are the strength in many areas of the effort to get the word out to the world. Many of us give our money to help get the word out, but you have given your life. Thank you. And that's from James Forehand. This one from our dear brother Don Wynn in Wasilla, Alaska. Hey, are you crazy? How can you title your email More Good News? It is a disaster. Have you totally lost your mind? God did not give the gospel message to Glenn Klein. God gave the gospel message to Mike Williams. If Mike asks you to tone it down, then do it. If Mike asks you to shut up, then tape your mouth. The revolution needs you. Don't be a dipshit. Surrounded by fools, Don Wynn, Wasilla, Alaska. I don't know if he's talking about the fact that he's a neighbor of Sarah Palin's or not, but I understand. Don's been a great supporter of the gospel revolution. I understand. And this was not my choice. Now, what was my choice was to conduct my life, and I do take full responsibility for making the decision to, you know, add the people from Facebook Love, and you guys have already gotten the information who don't want to be on it, how to get off it. You get off of it easily. And I take full responsibility for being a naughty big boy. You know, I do not agree with the way that Michael handled this. I still haven't talked with him. I love him. I respect him. I honor him. I'm encouraging you guys to continue supporting whatever he does. He's got the convention coming up in Calgary with Vic Dobrennan in July. Pep is going to have him, I hope, still in October in Marshfield. Support him. Call Jeff at the office. Give your heart, give your money. They need help. We need help. I still feel like I'm part of the gospel revolution, even though Michael has clearly stated in his emails that he wants to have nothing to do with me publicly. I respect his decision. He's following his heart as I am mine. And that's, I learned that from Michael Williams, Deanna.
Yeah, I learned it from them too. Yeah.
So, this Facebook Love thing is not a small part of this moment.
Yeah.
And one of the things that really pissed Mike off in his emails when he found out that you had posted something on the Friends of Mike Williams of the Gospel Revolution about a vibrator.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that wasn't good, honey.
Well, I thought it was excellent.
I thought it was excellent, too. In fact, it wasn't good. It was excellent. Please explain to the beautiful humans why you did that.
Sure. Well, the initial reason why I did it, someone posted something about the hypocrisy of people who visit porn shops and then scream about pornography. And I've noticed, we've all noticed, whatever you hear screamed from the pulpit or on television the loudest is probably the very thing somebody is wrestling with. We project what we don't want to see.
I think that was actually a picture of a church van in front of a porn shop. That was on, somebody else put that.
Yeah, so it connected to a story in my own life. There's so much to it, but I came into recognizing my own innate sexuality as a woman at the late age of 42, after 7 of my 8 children were born. And it was definitely a sacred, divine download that I was not expecting.
You're older than 42?
Thank you. Hello. I'm 50.
Hello.
I've only been sexually awake for about 8 years, yes.
And how did that happen to you?
There were a series of things happening. My marriage had been very troubled for a long time. I was what was known as a withholding or frigid wife. And my ex-husband was quite miserable about that. It's not why he's my ex, but it was a difficult time, and I have to give him kudos for hanging in there and loving me in spite of that. But I did, following many different things, wanting to be able to give myself to my husband sexually. I had been praying for a long time, and May 24th, 2004, at 3:45 p.m. in a church parking lot, waiting for my son's drum lesson to be over, I got filled head to toe with something I had never in my life experienced.
What was that?
Well, it was sexual desire. And
Wait. Okay, you've never had sexual desire?
No, I had not before.
And then how do you recognize it as sexual desire? It's like, how did you know?
All I knew is it felt really good, and I thought, this has got to be immoral, unethical, maybe even illegal, but it feels so dang good. I am going to enjoy it before I repent.
All right, you got to tell the story, which basically you were telling on the Friends page, which, you know, was so upsetting to Mike.
Oh, yes.
And I can
oh, yes.
understand. I mean, I,
okay.
I get it.
I'll kind of speed through
yeah,
all of
yeah,
this.
Yeah, we got to go, because we just got the letter or the question in the Kenyan corner from Moses Gata,
okay.
Kenya, which I'm so excited about. And we got Joe Klein online. So you got to really, really get to the point.
I'll speed it. Okay. Long story short, I had never had an orgasm by the age of 42. Now, everyone deserves to have one, and I didn't think I was capable. Due to some advice from some very experienced people, Christians, married Christians, they sent me to an establishment that sells vibrators, among other things. And while I'm there, and I was in a van, my 15-passenger van, with fish symbols and Got Jesus bumper sticker on the back, I pull in, I go into the porn shop. Well, it was a nice but naughty shop, an exotic shop. And I ask to see vibrators. So a little grandmotherly woman shows them to me, and I'm explaining how I shared the gospel as I then understood it with her, and lady from the back comes out, and I share all this, and I discover that, yes, I was fearsomely and wonderfully made, and yes, my body works, and it was great, and it enhanced my marriage for a few years anyway, until it didn't work anymore. But the vibrator worked, the marriage didn't. But anyway,
as marriage often does.
Yeah, well, 50-50 vibrators, pretty much 100% if you replenish
right.
the batteries.
Being the legalist tenet of Christianity, the marriage is, it's pretty much bound to fail.
Right. So the picture on the Gospel Revolution page reminded me of my story. So I shared it much less in depth than what I just relayed. And I didn't think it was offensive. I had shared the video clip of my husband and I on national television discussing how all of this led to me being, well, the whole family being excommunicated from an entire denomination.
Right. And now on this side of me being excommunicated from public association with the Gospel Revolution, I can kind of relate to what you guys experienced a little bit.
Apparently, we're very, very bad.
But Michael says, and rightfully so, that we are all one. We're just not one in association publicly. I'm going to continue to promote Michael. The dude changed my life. I mean, my guy, he saved my life. You heard what I read the foreword at the beginning, and Dina's and my relationship is evolving, ironically. But I got to say this. Michael said when he understood what was going on with us, D, mm-hmm. he knew you were coming to Tampa.
Right.
I swear to God, he said, this has got disaster written all over it. And little did I know, it didn't really have much to do about us. But and this is not a disaster, you guys. Michael says he's excited about the future and his future format and all that. I'm sure it's going to be fantastic. And you guys know it's going to be fantastic. And I cannot encourage you enough. And Michael knows my heart. He knows me. He knows me as well as any man living. And he knows what I want to do, and that's to get him back on this radio show from time to time and promote his book and promote the Gospel Revolution and promote the conventions and just love up on folks, because that is what I like to do, and I like to follow my heart. And now I want to follow my heart right online. Please welcome Numero Uno, a man that has worked on this webcast. You've heard him before, and certainly of him. Let's welcome online from beautiful Brandon, Florida, the number one son, Mr. Joe Klein. Joe!
You can't always get what you want.
But if you try sometime, we got to edit this because we got to go.
You just might find.
You get what you need.
You get what you need. Oh,
hey,
yeah.
Joe.
Yeah, we played.
I just wanted to call in and say, hey.
Hey. Love you, buddy.
On the inaugural webcast.
Love you, man.
Love you, too.
Thank you so much. Oh, my God. We had meatloaf together, didn't we, tonight?
Yes, I witnessed it.
It was beautiful.
We had a little pregame.
What's the score of the Rays Yankees game?
I saw 2-0, maybe even a little bit more. And turned on the good news, because the good news comes in all sorts of fame, sorts and fashions.
No doubt about it. Dahlia, got to run. Thank you. I love you. I will see you soon.
Love you.
There's Joe Klein calling with his support. And now, ladies and gentlemen, as is our tradition, let us go to the Kenyan Corner. Yes, I talked to Moses Gachalgata today, told him that I would be privileged and honored to continue the tradition so that we could greet and say Mambo and Jambo to the Gospel Revolution School of the Scriptures in Kenya and their president, Moses Gachalgata. Let us go now to Lucky Dubé. Together as one, Lucky Dubé. See, Sean corrected me on Sean has taken Jeff's place and corrected me on pronunciations tonight. And here's the question. He says, "Hi, Glenn. What is meant by the scriptures cannot be broken, as Yeshua said it?" And that's yours from Moses Gata in Kenya. You know, honey, you asked me a question last week when somebody called in with a question. I think the gentleman's name was Paul from Georgia, if I recall.
Yes.
And you said, when people call, do I give the questions over to Michael? And what did I say?
You said, yes, you do.
Yeah, because he's the expert, and he is the expert.
So now you get to give him over to me.
Okay. No, I'm going to take this one, this particular one, with all due respect. The scriptures cannot be broken. Moses, as Yeshua said. This is a wonderful chapter in Michael's book about not that Yeshua said that I have not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. But that word destroy is not destroy. It's to not fragment. That's what the word actually means. See, the Pharisees fragmented the law. They pick and they chose, and they watered it down. And that ticked Yeshua off. And he didn't say he didn't come to destroy the law. He came to not fragment the law, to present it the way it was supposed to be presented. As Michael has so often said, Yeshua should have been the last teacher of the law. He should have been the last one. And, you know, when you see Yeshua in the New Testament writings, remember, folks, the New Testament is not Scripture. Yeshua, Michael taught us this and reemphasized it so many times. And Ivan earlier on in the program referred to 2 Corinthians as Scripture. I don't think, nor does Michael, that 2 Corinthians is Scripture. It contains scriptural things in it, but it couldn't have been the Scripture that Yeshua was referring to because it wasn't written yet. And he specifically said, did Jesus, that the law, the Psalms, and the prophets, that's what Scripture is. And he came to fulfill, not to fragment. He presented the law in its complete and utter context, which was to bring people to the end of themselves so they would have no hope in attaining towards perfection or towards righteousness in God except through the Mashiach, through the Christ. And that way there is no works. There is no weight. Everybody is the same in it. And so Moses, that's what he meant, in my humble opinion. The scriptures cannot be broken. They cannot be fragmented. If they are, you get what we have had over the course of 2,000 years of Christianity, people picking and choosing the laws they want, whether it be women can't speak in church, or, you know, homosexuality is an abomination. As Michael has said on so many occasions, it says so brilliantly in the book one, he is so glad that God condemned homosexuality in the Old Testament, as, by the way, he pretty much condemned all human behavior, because if he's included in the condemnation, Then he's included in the sanctification and then the righteousness and the redemption at the cross of Golgotha. And that is a beautiful thing, is it not?
Well, yes, ultimately.
No doubt. All right. So we're now, according to Sean, we're not broadcasting right now. So we're back on. Oh, that's a beautiful thing. Well, you fixed it. You are the fix-it man.
Sean's the hero.
And that's going to do it for this initial inaugural webcast of the good news on Glenn Klein Online. Dee,
yeah.
You're going back to Oregon tomorrow, a little earlier than we planned,
mm-hmm.
but it's been one hell of a time.
Yes.
a growing, a learning, a beautiful experience with a beautiful human. I regret nothing.
It's been absolutely life-changing.
No doubt, and we will look forward to your reports as our good news correspondent in the Northwest very soon. I'm very hopeful.
Like next week.
Like next week. That's exactly right. Want to thank Joe Klein for calling in. Ivan A. Rogers, the author of Dropping Hell and Embracing Grace, for his participation. The emails, the context of being able to, or the opportunity to put this all in context for you. And I want to thank Sean O'Halloran for doing everything that he does. I want to thank Jeff Robertson of the Gospel Revolution for being there for everybody. And I remember the first time we played this song, I Was Born This Way by Lady Gaga. Michael's like, we got to make that a tradition. So I don't know. In fact, I'd be surprised if he ever hears this, but maybe somebody could tell him that, Michael, this is dedicated to you with the love and the respect and the honor, my friend, that you deserve. Lady Gaga, I Was Born This Way. Righteous, perfect, holy, sanctified, without blame, spotless, without fault. And the man that brought that news to us resides at the home offices of the Gospel Revolution in Houston, Texas. Thank you, Michael. I love you. Until next week, this would be Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody! Don't be a drag, just be a queen, whether you're broke or evergreen. Your black, white, face, Chola, descent, your Lebanese, your Orient. Whether life disabilities have you outcast with leader teeth, rejoice and love yourself today. Cause baby, you were born this way.